Jesus was the greatest healer there ever was on the face of the earth. Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This program comes to you every week at this time over the station. We're in the first chapter of Mark today. I want to read to you verse 30 through 34. It says, "But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came," that means Jesus came, "and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of various diseases, and cast out many devils, and allowed not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Today, my friends, we find ourselves in a passage of Scripture that is loaded with miracles. Look at these powerful little phrases. "He healed many," or "many devils were cast out," or "and he healed people of different kinds of diseases." I believe that Jesus healed more people than anybody who ever lived on the face of the earth. No doctor in all the history of mankind healed more people than Jesus. Jesus was the greatest healer of all times, and Jesus is still the greatest healer today. The remarkable thing about Jesus is when he died, he rose again, and he went to heaven. And he, to this very day, has kept up his healing ministry. Jesus will heal more people today than he's healed in any one day while he was on the earth. Every medical doctor, when he dies, comes to the end of his healing ministry, but Jesus rose from the dead, and he has continued to heal people now for 2,000 years every single day. He's still practicing medicine. Now, like the way Jesus does practice his medicine, you go to him. You don't need to make an appointment. You don't need to wait for him in his office to fit his schedule. You don't need to fill out a questionnaire when you come to see Jesus by giving your medical history. You don't have to fill out some lines as to who's going to pay for it all. You don't need a nurse to assist him or a secretary to fill out papers. You don't need a technician to do a blood test on you, or a urine analysis, or check your blood pressure or the temperature, or check your weight and height. No surgical instruments, but only the word of Jesus is needed. My friend, Jesus does not dispense prescription drugs with all their side effects. Jesus, in fact, does not even show himself physically in a white coat. He is the invisible doctor. All he has to do is say the word, and healing will occur. Jesus is the greatest healer there ever was, there ever will be. I don't know of any one case where a Buddha has ever healed anybody. I have not read any books about it, but if there had been some healings that came from him, I'm sure there would have been some books about this. If he ever made a blind man see, I believe we would have a book about it. It'll be recorded somewhere. If he ever made one lame man walk, or deaf man hear, or would have raised somebody from the dead, or if he ever would have healed a leper, we would know about this. But the Buddhists have nothing to publish about the healing miracles of Buddha. And so it is with Islam. There is no statement, no record of Muhammad having healed anybody, having made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, having raised the dead. But oh, how I read about the many, many miracles of healing the Lord Jesus did on this earth, and how we read in many, many books that were written since that time about people testifying about their healings from the Lord Jesus, since he rose from the dead and went to heaven. I personally was given up by medical doctors at one time to die, but Jesus healed me. Oh, if you would just give the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, just this one chapter out of all the whole Bible, to a sick Buddhist or a sick Muslim or a Sikh Shintoist or a Sikh Jew and tell them, read this, they will find out the tremendous healing power of Jesus. I believe there'd be some of them that would want to become followers of the Lord. Jesus heals. It says here that he healed people of different diseases. That means of many kinds of diseases, of the whole spectrum of diseases. Now, let's look at these wonderful passages of healings and deliverances again. It says, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Anon, they told him of her, and he came. That is, Jesus came to her and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left, and she ministered unto them. Oh, my friends, Jesus is a healer, was a healer, and he shall be a healer. One of the greatest instruments that has contributed to the conversion of unbelievers throughout the centuries in all the mission fields of the world has been the fact that Jesus has gone with many a missionary and gave healing miracles to make people realize that he, Jesus, is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. There are about 50 references of Jesus' healings in the New Testament. Jesus came to heal. Now you say Jesus came to save us from sin, from our sins. That's also true, but he also came to heal. Don't forget about that. So in Mark 1:34, it says there that he healed many that were sick. Then I want you to go with me to Matthew, my friend, chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. There it says, then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. The religious leaders were planning how to kill Jesus. Jesus had done more miracles in the presence of the Pharisees in the land of Israel than all the prophets of old have done in 1,000 years put together. And yet the Pharisees tried to destroy the Lord Jesus, this great healer. Now, their plan was killing. Jesus was healing and saving. That was his plan. So when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, it says, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. It says he healed them all, my friend. How many people were there in this meeting? Well, look at the text very closely. It doesn't say a great multitude in the singular, but it says great multitudes in the plural followed him, and he healed them all, every one. Oh, my friend, I like this book, this Bible, these Gospels. In one place it says Jesus healed many. Here in this place it says Jesus healed all. Read the Gospels, my friend. Get faith in the Lord Jesus for your healing. Christianity is the fastest growing religion in the world, and one reason is because Jesus heals. Another is because Jesus forgives, and he's forgiving our sins as we come to him for our forgiveness to get new life. Well then, what are the conditions to be healed? You would like to know. My friend, the first condition to be healed is we must come to Jesus. We read in our text today in Mark 1, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many. The people came to Jesus. They came to his door. We need to come to Jesus to be healed. We need to come to him with our sins, confess our sins, repent of our sins, and ask him to come into our lives so that he can, my friend, be our healer. Secondly, for us to be healed, it must be the will of God. If Jesus does not want me to be healed, I do not want to be healed. I'm not going to ask him for it. If Jesus will be glorified through my sickness, I don't want to be made well. Remember that the main menu of our Christianity is found in the Lord's Prayer in these words, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There are many people, so many in our own country, who would not give Jesus any glory or all the glory if they were healed. They would simply say thank you and go on in their selfish, ungodly, unholy ways. When we're healed, we must give Jesus all the glory. We must begin to put him first in our lives every day, or a worse thing will come upon us. There's a lady by the name of Joni Erickson Totter. When she was a young girl, she was jumping off a diving board into a swimming pool and she broke her neck. I met her some time ago. She's in a wheelchair and she's paralyzed from her neck down. Have you ever considered how long it will take for you to get dressed and ready to go out the door if you're paralyzed from your neck down? Well, this dear lady lives this way. She goes from one speaking engagement to another, telling people how wonderful Jesus is, and that if she would not have had this tragedy, she would never have lived to the glory of the Lord. Her testimony is not in her healing, but in our suffering and in the grace of God being sufficient for every moment of our life. The Apostle Paul had a wonderful healing ministry. You may know that healing virtue came out of Jesus' body to those who had faith in him. I'll remember the story of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She was made whole. With all this healing virtue and the body of the Apostle Paul, it tells us that in Acts chapter 19, that God brought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So Paul had great healing ministry, but Paul himself did not get his healing. It was not the will of God for the miracle worker to be healed himself. Let me give you points 1 and 2 that are required for healing. We must come to Jesus. That's number 1. Number 2, we must be the will of God for us to be healed. Paul, the miracle worker, had an affliction. He called it a thorn in the flesh, and 3 times he asked the Lord Jesus to be healed, and the Lord told him, "I'm not going to heal you. You'll be a better Christian with the suffering than if I would heal you. My grace is sufficient for you." And so Paul accepted this as God's will for his life, and he joyfully continued to preach the gospel, leading thousands to Christ. So in our text today, we are at Capernaum in Mark chapter 1. And indeed, Jesus came there and spent the night in Peter's house, Simon Peter's house. The whole city came to the door of this house, and it says he healed many. Glory to God. Here it was the will of God that many be healed. Then you have another passage I gave you in Matthew, that Jesus was in a certain place, and it was the will of God that all the sick ones be healed. And then you come to another passage in Luke chapter 5, where many, many could have been healed, but only one man was healed because only one man had faith for his healing. Which gets me to point number 3. What does it take for us to be healed? Number 1, again, we must come to Jesus. Number 2, it must be the will of God. Number 3, we must have faith. Let me read this passage to you from Luke chapter 5. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that is Jesus, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So there was a place here where there were all those educated people, those scholars, those doctors of the law from all over the country. It says the power of the Lord was present to heal them, every one of them. Had they had faith, they all would have been healed. But because instead of them having faith, they had criticism and fault-finding in their hearts toward Jesus, and none of them that could have been healed was healed. But there were 4 men who carried a paralytic, who had faith with this paralytic. And these 4 men had enough faith to break through the roof, to put the sick man right in front of Jesus, and Jesus healed him. So, to be healed, once again, number 1, we must come to Jesus. Number 2, it must be the will of God. And number 3, my friend, we must have faith. So I say to you, go for it, pray for it, ask for it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this marvelous, wonderful healing power that is in you. The fact that you healed great multitudes when you were on the earth, you've been healing on and on for 2,000 years every day throughout all the world, should be enough for us to fall on our faces and to confess Jesus is the Lord, the only Lord, the King of Kings. Work in our hearts this very day, that all that you have for us will come our way for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio message. Tune in again next week at the same time on the same station. Goodbye now, until then.